After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Dripping wet from the waters of Jordan River and affirmed of his identity as the Son of God at his baptism, Jesus moved into the wilderness to be tested for the mission he came here into this world. It was a test of will. Would he or would he not resort to the divine power to accomplish his mission? If he does use the divine power, there is no incarnation. To accomplish his goal without the benefit of the divine power, he has to sacrifice himself and be true to his humanity. Does God love his creation enough so that he would deny himself and die on the cross? Today's gospel lesson gives us an answer to how Jesus would face his challenge, his mission. It is like a job interview. Placed before him were three questions. How would he meet the basic bodily need, hunger, of the people in the world? How would he earn the trust of the people? And what would be the focus of his worship? Rather than talking about how Jesus as a human being defeated the devil in his own game, which we would have easily become prey to ourselves, I want us to probe a little to understand why you and I need to travel this annual journey called Lent to reach our Easter home. Why must we follow the disciplines of self-examination, reflection, and repentance as part of this journey? By placing the Genesis narrative of the temptation of our first parents and the gospel account of Jesus' temptation side by side, we can clearly see devil's strategy in causing confusion about our identity. In the Genesis story, Adam and Eve, created to be humans, are told that they could be like God. And in the gospel account, Jesus, the Son of God, who crossed into the human realm, devil tempted to prevent him from being human by saying, "If you are the Son of God." In the Genesis story, devil played on the inadequacy of Adam and Eve's humanity and appealed to their desire to be like God. In the gospel, devil tried to appeal to Jesus' divinity while Jesus was embracing the inadequacy and the poverty of our humanity. Our identity as we are and not like God is being continually challenged today. Like Adam and Eve, wearing fig leaves as loin clothes to cover their nakedness, we wear masks to hide the poverty of our humanity. Our materialistic and consumerist society bombards us with messages day in and day out, promoting different brands of masks to hide our inadequacies. According to the market forces, we are too fat, too thin, not bright, not cool, not sexy, not feminine, not masculine, and the list goes on. And the market has the right product for us. However, are these the inadequacies one must be concerned about? Or are our concerns about these inadequacies symptoms of something deeper and more serious? Lent offers us an opportunity to become recollected, to slow down and dig down a bit. Too often, we hesitate to dig deeper because we are afraid to face the facts of our reality. We find it difficult to face and then embrace the brokenness of who we truly are. How difficult it is for us to accept and acknowledge what we rather not see. So we go around pretending that everything is okay with our souls. Sometimes when I hear some strange noise in my car, it may be time for me to check that out, take it to the mechanic. Just because what I might find out would cost me money to fix it, can I go on pretending that nothing is wrong? Friends, Lent is a time for us to take our souls to an annual spiritual checkup. Lent gives us permission to slow down, allows us to get off the rat race of our daily routine, and lets us to slow down and smell the flowers, so to speak. Are things okay with us and with our relationships? As spouses, do we give enough time for each other? Do we appreciate each other? As parents, do we thank God for our children? And as children, do we thank God for our parents? At the Lenten checkup time, these are some of the things we would have to answer. Let us remember that God loves us as we are, with all our brokenness. When God decided to take the radical step to become a human being, he really knew what he was getting into. He embraced our brokenness. He accepted the poverty of our humanity. He did so to teach us to love and to cherish and to accept ourselves through the thick and thin and the ups and downs of our always challenging and painful experiment that we call life. One of the most painful chapters of my life was when I first came to this country when I was about 23 years old. Having never been out of my province, let alone outside the country, coming to the States, that too in the South, was extremely difficult. Language, accent, food, customs, everything was different. I was at a fundamentalist Bible college. What was most difficult was that they did not consider me as a Christian because I was not a born-again Christian. It was spiritually and psychologically a very, very wilderness time for me. Looking back, I would say that was my wilderness experience. In those days, I really wished I had gone back to India to what was familiar. However, today, I'm glad I didn't do that. Surrendering myself to that experience of my early days in America led to liberation and resurrection. Had I gone back, would I have experienced the joy of serving you as your priest here today? No. Frederick Buechner, a contemporary theologian, says, "What's lost is nothing to what's found. And all the death that ever was set next to life would scarcely fill a cup." Observing Lent and subjecting ourselves to its disciplines of self-examination, reflection, and repentance would lead us to accepting our identity as fallen human beings in need of God's redemption, the gift of grace, and to Easter and to resurrection. Lent is a must for Easter. Lent is a time in the wilderness. It's a time of sacrifice. It's a time to deny ourselves something we want for the sake of something we want even more. Let us begin this journey today, knowing fully well that God loves us so much that he became one of us.